Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick Control Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Carper. There is no co-host tonight. We're going to have a solo pod the week of the draft. It seems like we just have too many crazy rumors to even fit another person on here. So it's just going to be me answering some Twitter questions, going over some rumors that have been leaking out, and just know that the draft week is maybe the craziest week for rumors. It's even worse than the trade deadline, just because so many different things can happen with the draft and moving players and trying to get DeMarcus Cousins and trying to draft this guy, that it's just going to be a lot of smoke screens, a lot of craziness, a lot of chicanery, trying to figure out who's going to go where or if anyone's going to go anywhere. Let's start off with the big rumor of Monday is the Lakers in possibly a three-team deal with the Orlando Magic and the Sacramento Kings trying to get DeMarcus Cousins. I also would be trying to get DeMarcus Cousins if I was any team that's not the Kings, because DeMarcus Cousins is one of the best big men in basketball, if not the best. It depends on if you want to call Anthony Davis a center, and if he's a power forward, is he the same type of big man as a center? That's really the only distinction you get into. But DeMarcus Cousins, arguably the best big man in basketball. He's locked up, I think, till 2018 on his contract, and so there's no real danger of losing him anytime soon. So yeah, anyone would be trying to get him. Are the Kings really going to deal him to the Lakers, though? I guess the rumor right now would be Vucevic, the number 5 pick, and other picks to the Kings. Peyton and the number 2 pick, which would be Okafor, would go to the Magic, and then Cousins would go to the Lakers. I can see why the Lakers would want to do this, because they end up with Cousins, who's definitely going to be better than either D'Angelo Russell or Jahlil Okafor. I can see why Orlando would want to do this, thinking Okafor is going to be better than Nikola Vucevic is not a crazy idea. And then for the Kings, wanting to get Vucevic, not a bad idea unless you're giving up DeMarcus Cousins to get him. And by the way, they wouldn't fit together. And then to not even get the number 2 pick out of this trade, I guess you keep the 6th pick, and maybe you could even move the 6th pick to Denver for Ty Lawson. So then you're doing like a Vucevic, Lawson, I guess you get the number 5 pick in this trade. I don't really understand. I guess I don't understand where they would go. And then you could go get Willie Cauley-Stein. So then you're looking at a core of McLemore, Rudy Gay, Ty Lawson, Vucevic, and Willie Cauley-Stein. Is that better than what they have going now just because of... I mean, it's better than what they have going now because they don't have a good roster. But is that enough to really say, like, all right, we're going to give up on Cousins right now and hope that this core, this stronger, deeper core, is able to move forward? Or you can probably move the 6th pick now for Ty Lawson, if the rumors are true with that, keep DeMarcus Cousins, and then you have Rudy Gay, DeMarcus Cousins, and Ty Lawson to build around. That may be the smarter way to go, because it's easier to work those kind of contracts, add players in, and really go with the strength of having that star. And we've seen that, I know we don't like to have this conversation all that much, but having a star really does matter. So that's the crazy rumor right now. There's no way that the Kings are considering this, although it's the Kings and it's Vivek, and now I don't really know how you classify any rumor with them as being credible or not. Vlade Divac came out and said that he wasn't going to trade DeMarcus Cousins. It wasn't going to happen in any way. But that could be a smokescreen. We never know with this kind of stuff. So that's the biggest rumor that hit the internet today. We also have a rumor of the New York Knicks have allegedly been offered Eric Bledsoe and the number 13 pick for the number 4 pick. If this is in any way true and the Knicks haven't accepted this deal, I don't know what to do with them anymore. Because let's say, who's the top pick available for them at 4? It's either going to be Porzingis, unless the Sixers do something crazy, and then it's D'Angelo Russell. And then if they don't want Porzingis and Russell's off the board, it's Moutier, maybe Justice Winslow. Eric Bledsoe's probably going to be a better player than Emmanuel Moutier. Eric Bledsoe's probably going to be a better player than Justice Winslow. Bledsoe is also locked up in this deal. So to get Bledsoe and the number 13 pick, because even then you can go get, I don't know, anybody. Kaminsky or Trey Lyles or who they allegedly covet, any of those guys. That would all be a much better package than trying to figure out if this number four pick can yield a big prospect. Now, if Russell falls to them, I would rather have Russell because he'll be cheaper for a while. I think he'll probably be better or at least more valuable than Bledsoe moving forward after a couple of years getting his feet wet in the NBA. But if this, I just think if this rumor is true in any way, and the Knicks aren't laughing out loud at the idea of that being offered to them and then accepting it, you know, maybe Phil Jackson really doesn't know what he's doing. I think that we've heard a lot out of Phil Jackson over the last week, and I personally think that it's him just playing us. Like, he knows how to play the media, he knows how to play everybody. I think he says things just to get the reaction, and then at that point, you know, he lets us sift through the madness and make the jokes or whatever, and then he has an ulterior motive. If that ulterior motive ends up working, then he gets to laugh at everybody. Even if it doesn't, he probably still laughs at everybody. But that's another rumor that's going around, and the fact that they're, you know, reportedly shopping the number four pick shouldn't shock anybody. Once they fell to number four in the draft lottery, that was the immediate rumor, was they may not want to keep this pick because it's a top three heavy draft, unless you believe Porzingis can be a star, and we just don't know enough about him to know whether or not he can be a star. Other trade rumors right now with the draft, we've got the Ty Lawson thing. This is all in Ken Berger's Draft Buzz on CBSSports.com. I'd recommend you check that out. The Ty Lawson idea, apparently a nice little wrinkle to this Ty Lawson discussion between the Kings and the Nuggets is Vivek is expecting, or at least pressuring the team to make the playoffs this coming season. Unless they're going to overhaul this roster, that's not, I mean, this is the Western Conference, so this isn't nearly a good enough roster. Even if you add Willie Cauley-Stein or you add Emmanuel Mudiay, and those guys are really good as rookies, this is not a good roster. I mean, they have a ton of holes. They don't have much depth. You know, you can add Mudiay and have him and Darren Collison have a nice little backcourt together throughout moments of the games. If they made the move for Ty Lawson, maybe you can then move Collison to get some depth. But, you know, you're looking at guys like Jason Thompson and Derek Williams trying to bolster the attack. You know, Nick Stauskas didn't give us anything as a rookie. That doesn't mean he won't give us anything as a second-year player. But this, even with George Karl getting a full training camp, I don't know how you can expect this team to make the playoffs unless they just make a major move during the offseason that no one sees coming to bolster that roster. So him allegedly putting pressure on this team to make the playoffs next season, I get it. He just bought the team. He paid a lot of money. You don't want to sit out of the playoffs too often during those kind of situations where, you know, eventually you've got to show some kind of return on the investment. And they've had just so much turmoil that you want a good thing to ease the fans, but they've got a long way to go before they make the playoffs in the West. I mean, you look at, even if you think Dallas is going to fall out of the West, or you think that New Orleans won't be as good as they were last year, you still have teams like Oklahoma City. You still have maybe the Utah Jazz moving forward. I mean, this is a crowded Western Conference. It's probably 12 deep. And if the Kings want to, you know, break their way through, that's asking a lot. The Houston Rockets, according to Ken Berger, and a league source, says that they have the 18th pick. They're also looking to maybe add the 25th or 26th pick in a deal with Memphis or San Antonio. That would give them two first-round picks. Maybe they can package those together and move up. Maybe there's a couple of role players that they covet to really add to their depth. A lot of good wings, a lot of good point guards in that area of the draft, 18 to 26. So that could be a fun little move. And Daryl Morey usually has some fun with us on draft night in terms of the moves he makes, so that could be fun. There's also the rumor today that Anthony Bennett has been made available by the Minnesota Timberwolves. That's not so much news as it is inevitable, because Bennett has not been a good player in his first two seasons. He's had the health problems. He had the shoulder injury. Let's see. He had conditioning problems. He had sleep apnea. He had, you know, he transformed his body the first summer, or the summer after his rookie season, and got in much better shape. And even then, the play just wasn't there. He had a couple of flashes with the Timberwolves last year, but not a whole lot going on. So I find it hard to believe that He's going to have this huge breakthrough in his third year in the NBA. But I do think he's going to get better. I think the interesting thing with him is, are we heading into like the Derek Williams scenario where Derek Williams had some talent, showed a couple of flashes. He showed more flashes in his first 2 years than Bennett did in his first 2 years. But, you know, he didn't really, you know, blow your socks off with the way that he played throughout his, you know, his first two seasons, much like Bennett. And at a certain point with those number one picks, number two picks, those top picks in the draft, that those contract extent or those team options and that, you know, that fourth year team option, those become expensive. I mean, those are getting around $6-7 million. And that's a lot to give towards a guy, a young guy who's not really giving you anything after a few years in the league. And so then you have to start wondering, does that fit into your cap? Now, that might not be a big deal with the TV money jumping up in 2016. So maybe it'll be a little bit easier to swallow that contract and you hope you can develop him and keep him getting into better shape. And he can either develop a position as a three or as a four or just some kind of weapon off the bench who can do some scoring. But, you know, that's definitely taking a risk. The Wolves ended up getting Luke Richard and Mbah Moute for Derek Williams. You know, that's probably around the caliber that you could probably get in a role player. You're definitely not getting a first-round pick for Bennett by any means. But now they're back in the same situation where they have to make a decision pretty soon on these guys. And instead of committing the money for those, you know, third- and fourth-year options, they probably just want to try to get an asset of any kind. The Wolves turned Mbah Moute into the deal that brought in Thaddeus Young, and then turn him into Kevin Garnett. So what player can we bring back in terms of old Timberwolves players? Maybe LaPhonso Ellis is available. Maybe Joe Smith is available that they can go find a way to acquire in a sign-and-trade in some way. Let's see, maybe Rasho Nesterovic is available. Hey, maybe Darko will come back. And we can all just hit ourselves with steel chairs throughout the entire season. But they've got to find a way to bring in some kind of value for him. Really, that trade last summer was to get Andrew Wiggins. That turns out to be a huge win for them. So Bennett becomes expendable, but they don't really have an answer for power forward, so you'd like to maybe see them try to develop him a little bit more. They've got Adrian Payne, who they, you know, showed a couple of good moments at the end of last season, but not really a whole lot. They do have Kevin Garnett. They're going to have Karl Anthony Towns, who they're expected to pick, and I expect them to pick. Filling in, and they're going to try to play him and Gorgie next to each other, and maybe play him and Peck next to each other. It's going to end up being a crowded front court, but they've got to make a decision with Bennett on whether or not he can bring in value, and if he doesn't bring in that much value, is it better to have him off the team with a possible low-level role player in return, or is it better to, you know, try to develop him one more year under this coaching staff and see if anything good can come out of that? Another thing to get into with this draft, so the Players Tribune has this episode and this post about Willie Trill-Cauley-Stein. And so it's interesting that they put this out in the same day that we've got reports that his injury history with a past ankle injury is making teams pause on whether or not they want to select him. That could cause his draft stock to really drop on draft night, Thursday night, and we could see, I don't know, we could see him plummet a little bit. I don't think he'd fall out of the lottery by any means. I think he's going in probably the top 11 picks. But if that means, if that's the difference, if an ankle injury is the difference between him falling from like the fifth pick to like 11 or 12, like that's pretty significant, and that shakes up the draft a little bit. But it's interesting because the Players Tribune had a thing with him in which he, you know, we find out that he's put on 22 pounds of muscle since he was done at Kentucky, so that's early April, so we're looking at 2.5 months, maybe 3 months, putting on 22 pounds of muscle on a potentially shaky ankle, and he's added 5 inches to his vertical leap. That doesn't seem, I mean, all right, I'm not a trainer by any means, I'm not a doctor by any means, that just doesn't seem like a good idea to me to add a dramatic amount of weight to your body, whether it's muscle or whether it's fat, in such a short period of time when you have potential issues with your frame. You know, we talk about, oh, if this guy just adds muscle, well, really what you want to do is add strength. And we've talked about this with Andrew Wiggins before, how, you know, I don't want him to get all that much bulkier. You just want him to get stronger in a similar way that Kevin Garnett did when he was a young guy. feel the same way about Anthony Davis. You don't want him to add on 20 pounds of muscle because that, you know, you never know if that's going to lead to knee injuries or ankle injuries or whatever, lower back injuries, and you want them to be as healthy as possible. So it's just interesting on the same day that they're talking about, hey, look how much bigger and stronger he is, that we're wondering if Willie Cauley-Stein's ankle is going to be an issue. We also have Thad Young going to opt out of his contract with the Brooklyn Nets and become a free agent, trying to figure out if the Brooklyn Nets will want to re-sign him. He had a very good end of the season. His acquisition kind of turned the Nets season around. They were still bad, but they were good enough to make the playoffs in the East. They pushed the Hawks a little bit in the first round. Thad Young was a huge part of that turnaround. So that's, you know, that's a significant player for them to try to either re-sign or replace this offseason, as they've got so much up in the air. And I guess they don't want to commit too much money if they're going to still try to woo Kevin Durant or whoever to whatever big-name free agent they have their eyes set on in 2016 or 2017. You don't want to lock up too much, but he's also a nice player that guys like and guys want to play with. So if they can get him to a reasonable contract to re-sign, that's not a bad idea. We also have a report that Paul Pierce wants to end up with the Los Angeles Clippers, back with Doc Rivers. In theory, you could start forming a pretty nice a nice bit of depth there with, let's say, Chris Paul, J.J. Redick, Paul Pierce, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, assuming they could re-sign DeAndre Jordan. And then they just got Lance Stephenson. Big Baby was serviceable for them. So that's seven players. They only had seven last year. But, you know, if Austin Rivers can be decent or they find a backup point guard to spell Chris Paul for, you know, 10 to 15 minutes a game, that would be huge. They would either have Jamal Crawford still or find a way to move him for another piece. So they may actually be building up a little bit of depth here if they can add Paul Pierce for, I think it would have to be the mini mid-level. They don't have their biannual exception because they gave that to Jordan Farmar, who got waived halfway through his first season with the Clippers. So we've got a situation where they don't have a ton of options for adding to the team, but if Paul Pierce is willing to take a discount, we could certainly see him adding a nice little component. And he's not going to be the Paul Pierce that Doc Rivers is used to, but even if he's what he was to the Wizards last year, that's a huge piece for this Clippers team. All right, we're going to get to your questions, your Twitter questions. Remember, you can always email the podcast. It's my name, zach.harper@cbsi.com, or you can submit a Twitter question using the hashtag EOBpod. Let's get into it with Call Jammy. Why is Nicki Minaj a thing? I don't know that I can answer that without getting fired, but I will say that she is very marketable, and people seem to like her, and she's actually decently talented. I don't think she has much range on what her songs do or what her lyrics are, but I think what she does is very good, I guess in kind of a little Kim-ish type of way, and she's the person now to fill that role. At Freddie Bain wants to know, who is your favorite Ricky Davis? You know, it's tough to pick one Ricky Davis, but I think my favorite Ricky Davis, there's, you know, I've talked about the time he dunked on Steve Nash and then yelled, "Oh, excrement," into the cameras as he was celebrating his own dunk. There's, you know, everyone always brings up the triple-double Ricky Davis, but I, you know, that's a little tired to me. Like, I don't think that that should be his lasting memory. My favorite memory of his is of him is the time he was down 22 points in a game with about, I don't know, a couple of minutes left in the game, and he goes on a fast break, breakaway, between the legs to himself, down 20 in a game. That is some kind of confidence in showing out. So that's my favorite Ricky Davis. At VLIN29, who is the second rounder most likely to become an impact player? I actually have something on this going up on CBSSports.com tonight. It'll be after this is posted, obviously. There are quite a few guys who I think, it depends on how the end of the first round shakes out. You know, if we see Rashad Vaughn fall to the second round, then he would be a guy, but I think he's probably going to go in the low 20s somewhere. We could see someone like Cliff Alexander fall to the second round, but I think that he's probably a late first rounder with his talent. So let's go to guys that I think will definitely be second rounders. You have someone like Anthony Brown out of Stanford. He can shoot the lights out. He's old for a player. He's like 23 already. He was ended up being a fifth-year senior at Stanford. But he's like a 42, 43, 44% three-point shooter in college. And I just think he's got a good wingspan. He may be a solid defender in the NBA. And then if he can stretch the floor, those are the type of guys that we find so valuable these days. I really like Jordan Mickey out of LSU. I think he's going to be a good shot blocker, good rebounder, good third big man on a team. He could be a guy that also his teammate Jarrell Martin from LSU. He's a guy that went between the legs in a game this year. Not down 20 by any means, but this guy could add a little bit of flash and some athleticism and some power to the power forward position. I think he'll be good. I like Michael Frazier. I think he's going to be a good shooter in the league. I like Tyler Harvey in terms of a scorer. I'm not big on Dakari Johnson. I don't think he'll be one. Either of the Harrison twins, I can't really tell them apart, and I don't really know which one is the better prospect. I thought it was Aaron Harrison. I believe he's the one that hit some big shots in tournaments. One of the Harrison twins, I think, will be a good player at this level. Not as big on Norman Powell as I was. I kind of like Josh Richardson a little bit. Joseph Young. Joseph Young's actually been mentioned late in first rounds in a couple of mock drafts, but I think he's going to be a second-round player. Shooting guard out of Oregon. I guess maybe a point guard. He's a small shooting guard, so he might end up being a combo guard off the bench. He can also just flat-out shoot. I think he's going to be a good guy to fill it up. I like Sean Dawson out of Israel. He's a flashy guy, maybe a Ricky Davis type of guy, but I think if he goes in the second round, whether he comes over now or in a couple of years, I think he's going to be able to make some real progress as a bench player that can be very valuable. I like Rashawn Holmes out of Bowling Green. He's a good shot blocker, big wingspan, can rebound, can hit outside jumpers. It's just, was he good because he was against bad competition, or was he good because he's actually a good player? And then I think, sleeper is Chris Walker. I don't even know if he's going to get drafted. He had a lot of issues at Florida, didn't get to play a whole lot. But he's always been, one of those guys of he's got incredible talent, incredible athleticism. If he could just get his head straight, maybe that's not a guy. It's definitely not a guy you would risk on the first round anymore. But late in the second round, Philly's got so many second-round picks. I could see them taking a chance on him late, and then if they just let him play a little bit and he doesn't get himself into trouble, I think he could be a really nice steal in the second round. Bo Schwartz Madsen at Bo Schwartz wants to know which prospect has the coolest name and the uncoolest name. Let's see. In terms of coolest name, oh man, what do we have? Actually, I mean, I like Robert Upshaw as a name. I think it sounds like a 1980s cop movie lieutenant who plays by his own rules and isn't afraid to hit somebody with a phone book in an interrogation room. I like him. I like Terry Rozier. That's a good name. Let's see, who else do we have here? Rondae Hollis Jefferson, big on the three name guys. I don't mind his name at all. RJ Hunter, the fact that he can shoot and his last name's Hunter. You gotta like that. Maybe one of the worst names in the draft is Kevin Looney. You just don't want the last name Looney. That's not any fun. And then Frank Kaminsky's a terrible name. So I'm sorry to the Frank Kaminsky fans. I don't like that name at all. So I think he probably has the uncoolest name. At Jay Feldman 93 wants to know, what movie are you looking forward to live tweeting this summer? This is a tough one. I guess it's got to be a movie that comes out on DVD this summer, because I'm not going to live tweet from a theater. Maybe it can be I don't know. I could see, like, Jupiter Ascending's out on DVD. I could see that ending up on a movie channel and me just ripping that to shreds. It's supposed to be truly awful. Escape Plan is something I have on the DVR. That's, Stallone and Schwarzenegger at 85 years old trying to escape from a prison or something like that. That could be very fun to live tweet. What else do we have? Oh, Danny Collins. Anything that's old Al Pacino now. He's like supposed to be like this famous singer who is trying to either make a comeback or he's trying to come to grips with reality or something, but that could be a complete train wreck. So one of those movies will be the one. At that Hoops guy wants to know, if you could mix NBA players like they mix dinosaurs in Jurassic World, which would you mix and why? I would say it's got to be... I'd want LeBron... Well, LeBron James is already a guy who seems genetically engineered, but I'd want his durability because he seems to... Even though he gets hurt here and there, it never seems to cost him games. I would want his durability mixed with everything that is Anthony Davis, because Anthony Davis is a little frail and a little fragile, and so I'm worried about him, you know, putting in consistent 80-game seasons over and over. So I guess I'd throw that in there. I guess if I can do that, you know, Anthony Davis has a good personality, but I'd want Rasheed Wallace's personality mixed in there. And then let's just throw him Steph Curry's handle, just because that would be fun. At Woodley Sean wants to know, which team picking in the top 10 can take the biggest immediate leap, just talking 2015-16, with the right pick? So we got to look at the teams that are close. It's not the Wolves. It's not the Lakers, unless they make a huge splash in free agency. It's not the Sixers. It's definitely not the Knicks. Don't think it's the Magic, although things could get really interesting there with the moves they make this offseason. I don't buy the Kings as a big jump next season. I don't buy the Nuggets. So I guess we're looking at like Pistons, Hornets, Heat, Pacers, Jazz, Suns, Thunder. The Thunder is an easy one because they're going to get better just because of Durant coming back. So I think we're going to cut them out because I don't think their pick's going to have too much to do with that. I'm going to go with the Miami Heat. If they don't have to rely on Luol Deng, if they can figure out this mess with Dwayne Wade, in which his dad is wearing shirts of other teams, of the Cleveland Cavaliers, possibly to troll the Heat as they're in contract negotiations with Dwayne. If they can get rid of Luol Deng, who I think was actually better than most people thought last year, but he's still a guy that I'm not sure you can totally count on. At this point in his career, maybe he's better as a guy off the bench, but I don't know if he's going to be willing to accept that role, and he may opt out this summer. But let's say they grab someone like Stanley Johnson or Kelly Oubre, one of those guys. I'm big on both guys, and I think that adding a dynamic small forward option, even if it's a rookie, to Bosch, Goran Dragic if they re-sign him, Dwayne Wade, Hassan Whiteside, that's a really nice starting five that could make a huge leap. And then the Pistons as well, if they can grab Johnson or Oubre, or maybe even if Justin Winslow falls there, or Mario Hezonja, if any of those guys end up on the Pistons, just with the things that Stan Van Gundy wants to do, I think you could see a huge jump with them. We got at Jessev Nardone, or Nardone, if that's inappropriate. Buds are balding. His friends are bald or balding. He has voluptuous hair. Congratulations on being a part of that club. How do I properly use this to elevate my status over them in conversation form? Here's what you want to do, Joseph. You want to start trying to discuss hair products. This is a big trump card in terms of using your voluptuous hair over your friend's balding natures. You want to start talking about like going from a gel to a paste, or a paste to a gel, or combining the two into a gel paste combo. This is the way that you subtly remind them that your hair is far superior to the situation they have. Now here's what you want to hope for, is that they don't have, you know, amazing jobs that are much better than yours, because they'll try to throw that back in your face. But here's the thing you can always say to them, is that you can get a better job, assuming you have the lesser job in the scenario. You can get a better job, but they can't get more hair, because hair plugs don't work. The wig doesn't work. I'm not buying this Rogaine stuff. I feel like if it really worked, everybody would have voluptuous hair at this point in their lives. There would be no more balding. So I really go with like the, I've been thinking about using this Lanza molding paste, but I'm loyal to gels, so I could try the combination. I think the key is to make sure that I blow dry my hair constantly, coming out of the shower, so that I can mold whatever I need to with the products I choose. But that's a great way to remind them that you are genetically superior. At Lunchbeer wants to know, do you see Willie Cauley-Stein falling in a similar way to Jared Sullinger a couple of years ago, or is that even comparable? I don't think it's necessarily comparable. I think it's or comparable. I don't know how to pronounce that. I don't think it's going to be that big. I mean, Sullinger was like maybe a lottery guy who fell to what? It was like 21 or 22 in the draft. I don't think we're in any danger of Willie Cauley-Stein falling outside the lottery. But maybe in terms of a similar number of draft positions, if you think he can go anywhere from 4 to 7 and he drops to like 13 to 14, maybe we're looking at a similar thing, but not definitely not into the 20s. At Mike_Soros wants to know, do the Pacers have enough assets to target Bledsoe at the draft, assuming the Suns do have him on the market? I don't think they do. That, you know, the number 11 pick could be nice, but I think that the Suns have a much bigger prize that they're trying to go after, especially if they're trying to move up to the fourth pick. I would say that, you know, you're not making Paul George available. I don't think they'd want Roy Hibbert. They're definitely not going to try to go get David West. George Hill's contract probably isn't what they're looking for. And then after that, like, who are the guys? Like, Domjan Rudez? You know, he's not an intriguing enough guy to want to go get. I doubt they're that high on Solomon Hill, although I think he can be a nice role player. They're probably not looking for C.J. Miles as a return. So you got to package the 11th pick with somebody. I don't really think they have that somebody to get the Suns all that interested. At Melon Tuck wants to know, before July 1st, does CBA allow for a player to be drafted several times? I think if it did, we'd see Karl Anthony Towns going to like 8 different teams. At The Real NU Riga wants to know, would you rather have 2 picks in the late lottery or 10 picks in the second round? Give me the 2 picks in the late lottery. The 10 picks in the second round, like, I think Boston's going to have that pretty soon. The Sixers have 5 first-round picks now, and I think 4 or 5 next year. That's too many. That's too. I guess if you can find a bunch of guys to stash overseas and then bring them over slowly, you can bolster your roster that way. But the 10 picks in the second round, that's way too many. Oh, at Mike_Soros has another one. If you were to be on the How Did You Get Made podcast, what movie would you want to do? I think I'd want to do The Roommate. Not The Room, The Roommate. It's a... Who's in that? Like, Minka Kelly is in it, I think. I'm going to look this up. Yeah, it's Minka Kelly and Leighton Meester. It's one of the worst movies I've ever seen, and that's saying a lot. It didn't make me necessarily angry at myself for watching it. I was disappointed in myself for watching it. The greatest answer would be, just to get their take on it, would be R.I.P.D., which is the worst movie I've ever seen in any capacity. But the problem with that is I would have to watch it again, and I don't think I could survive a second viewing of R.I.P.D., so I'm going to have to go with a little bit safer option in The Roommate. I really recommend watching The Roommate, though, if you want to be disappointed in yourself, because it is 90 minutes of just pointlessness, like complete pointlessness. That is, it's just a poor ripoff of Single White Female in just about every way. At MNTwinsFan44 wants to know, if Willie Stein falls to 8 or 9, would the Wolves try trading using Gorgui Dieng and others to reunite Willie Cauley-Stein with Karl Anthony Towns? I don't think them trying to get another first-round pick is a crazy idea. I just don't think it's all that. I don't think Dieng is a guy that is going to be highly, you know, enough. I guess they could give up a future first-round pick, but they've already lent some of those out a little bit. Detroit wouldn't really want him. Maybe Charlotte would want him. I guess the Heat could end up wanting him for some depth behind Hassan Whiteside, but I don't see how they could have the assets unless they're really looking to like move Zach LaVine, or which I wouldn't be opposed to, or if they could find a trade partner that would take Ricky Rubio. I mean, you got to think of what their real assets are, and I don't know that anything really matches up there. At Joe Linnaeus wants to know, it's June 22nd. You don't have professional responsibilities for a while. When is the next time you will wear pants? I may have to go into our headquarters Thursday night for the NBA draft. So That would be a pants situation that I'm not happy about, but I think it's required because there would be some kind of problem with in HR or maybe some kind of sexual harassment suit that could prop up from me not wearing pants in the office. So that could be one. But other than that, I mean, you know, I go for a run. You got to put them on. But in terms of like an official capacity where I've got to really wear them out in public, I don't really have to go anywhere until summer league. So that would be my flight's on July 9th. So that would, I guess July 9th is technically the limit I could push it. At Stone Face with the A being a 4, let's get some good drink when X happens rules for a draft drinking game. You want to do this responsibly, of course. If you have to drink grape juice or apple juice, you know, that's what you want to do. You don't want to overindulge on anything that could get you into trouble. But if you were to drink when X happens, I would say drink when a prospect has to go up on stage and put on a hat when we already have heard that they're being traded to a different team. That's a good one. You have all the, like, you know, Jay Billis says, what is it, upside potential, or talks about wingspan or whatever. I think that anytime Adam Silver stumbles with a name, I don't think he'll be nearly as bad as David Stern was with the international names, but you never know. Anytime Knicks fans are seen booing on camera, you want to do that. Those are probably a good start, and then just couple those with the drinking game that's already out there. At Book Wormington wants to know, what is the highest and lowest ceiling for D'Angelo Russell? Well, the highest ceiling, I would say, is like a James Harden-type player. I think stylistically, it'll be very similar, but in terms of like how good could he be, James Harden's probably pushing it. James Harden's really good, remember. I know some people don't like him, but that's really good. So I would say James Harden is the ceiling. In terms of the floor, man, who could that be? I mean, realistic, like, we could just say, oh, Johnny Flynn, he sucked and he could be out of the league. Well, let's try to be more realistic than that. I don't know, maybe he's not that efficient. Like, maybe he's like a Kemba Walker type with a good handle. He can pass a little bit, can score some, but it's inefficient. I guess Kemba Walker would be his floor. I'm not sure that I love that comparison, but that's what I'll go with. At LAClips15 wants to know, thoughts on Wilson Chandler possible trade to the Clippers? If they can get him and all they have to give up is like Jamal Crawford and, I don't know, CJ Wilcox or something like that, I think that's a move they have to make. That would be a great score for the Clippers, is to add Wilson Chandler without having to give up anybody from their core. And then at Bobby_Hare wants to know, chances Lakers get Boogie Cousins in a trade? If so, what's the ceiling of a Kobe, DeMarcus Cousins, Julius Randle, free agent, and Ricky Davis combination? Well, I'm assuming that Julius Randle has to go. I don't see how they could get away with trading just the number two pick without giving up Julius Randle and get Cousins. I know we talked about a different scenario earlier, but that just seems like the way it would have to go to me. But if you have whatever's left of Kobe Bryant with DeMarcus Cousins, Randle, a free agent, hell, let's just throw Rondo in there, and then they go get Ricky Davis, their ceiling is get buckets and, I guess, 5 NBA championships in the next 2 years. And then one more thing before we go. Apparently, Isaiah Thomas, in an effort to become part owner of the New York Liberty, the WNBA team that he is now the president of, that's been put on hold. I can't imagine why. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that he was once part of a sexual harassment lawsuit for the same company that owns the Liberty and the Knicks. So maybe that's why. That would be a shocking development if that's the case, but that's probably going to hinder anything. Here's my advice, kids. One, if you have voluptuous hair, talk about hair products around your balding friends, because it's just going to make you feel better and make them feel worse, and then you become like the alpha male in this situation. Two, avoid sexual harassment lawsuits, because it could stop your candidacy from becoming a WNBA or NBA owner of a company or of a team that is owned by a company that you were in and sexually harassing during the process of being in that company years earlier. So that would be my two nuggets for you. Also, number three, avoid sea urchins. I stepped on a sea urchin Friday night. I had to soak my foot in vinegar yesterday to try to get rid of the needles. Apparently, it helps dissolve it a little bit, and then your body pushes them out of the skin. I still have two of the four needles stuck in there, but it's much less painful. So yeah, so we're talking. You're talking subtly about hair products. You're avoiding sexual harassment lawsuits, and don't step on sea urchins. I don't know that I could give you better advice than that in life. That's going to do it for today's EOB Pod. We'll be back tomorrow with hopefully a mock draft, either with myself and Matt Moore or myself and James Herbert. And then we've got plenty of draft coverage for you all this week and Thursday night as all the craziness going on. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes. We love it when you do that. We love it when you leave a 4 or 5 star review. I guess even a 3 star review would be okay, but that really helps us out. If you can do that, spread the word to your friends and let them know that if they need to kill 45 minutes to an hour every day listening to people babble about basketball, the Eye on Basketball podcast is for them. And you can follow us on Twitter, at Outside the NBA for James Herbert, at Matt Moore CBS for Matt, at Talk Hoops for myself, the at CBS Sports NBA Twitter account for all of our writings, and we will talk to you later. Thanks.